Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of the ninth parak of Yevamot on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. And the first Mishnah, which is really three Mishnayot, presents, in somewhat typical fashion for the Mishnah, a seemingly comprehensive list of circumstances where a woman would be Mutter Labal and Osur La Yavam, the inverse of that. Asur labal and mutar liyavam, asur to both and mutar to both. Yesh mutarot levalehen v'asurot liyimehen. So there are some women who are asur to their husband, but mutar to their husband and asur to a yavam. Mutarot liyimehen v'asurot levalehen, the opposite. Mutarot leilu leilu, v'asurot leilu leilu. And now Mishnah Aleph continues. Ve'elu mutarot levalehen v'asurot liyimehen. The following are those who are mutar to their husbands and asur to the yavam. Kohen hediot shenasa et ha'almana. So if a regular kohen marries an almana, the yesh lo ach kohen gadol, and he has only one brother, let's say, and that brother is a kohen gadol, so clearly when this brother dies, this woman falls to him, she's an almana. Now the Gemara is going to ask the question, why do we need to generate her as an almana? Why can't she just be a regular woman who he marries? Because when he dies, she then becomes an almana, and we'll see. Chalal shenasa ksheira. If a kohen chalal, like the result of a kohen and a ben grusha, a chalal marries a ksheira, and we'll see what kind of ksheira this is. Is she a bad kohen or not? V'yesh lo ach kasher, and he has a brother who's a regular kohen, so she's not allowed to be married. He is allowed to marry her, so she's muta labal. But once he had relations with her, she becomes a chalala, and then she cannot marry his brother who's a kohen. Yisrael shenasa bat Yisrael v'yishto ach mamzer. This is easy. A Yisrael marries a Yisraeli, perfectly good. But his brother is a mamzer, so she's also la yavam. Mamzer shenasa mamzer v'yishto ach v'Yisrael. We just flipped that one inside out. If a mamzer married a mamzeret, and his brother is a regular Yisrael, then, of course, he's not allowed to marry the mamzeret. Good. So these cases are mutarot lebalihan v'asurot mehen, and they're all laid out on the page, 1 through 4, under A. Now, Mishnah Bet, Ve'elu mutarot liyimehen v'asurot lebaalehen. This is the flip side. Kohen gadol shekidesh et almana. So let's say a kohen gadol is mekadesh an almana. V'yesh to ach kohen hediot. Alright, so now, even the kiddushin were asur, but of course when he dies and she falls to his brother as a kohen hediot, she's an almana. Why do we pick kiddushin? Because they never had relations. So since the kohen gadol never had relations with the almana, his relationship was asur, but he did not make her a chalala, and therefore she can marry his brother, the kohen hediot. Kosher shenasa chalala, if a regular guy marries a chalala, v'yesh lo ach chalal. So he is not allowed to marry a chalala, that was prohibited, but when he dies, she falls to a chalal, that's permitted. Yisrael shenasa mamzeret, which is asur, v'yesh lo ach mamzer, that's mutter. Mamzer shenasa bat Yisrael, v'yesh lo ach Yisrael. If a mamzer marries a regular bat Yisrael, which is asur, but he has a brother who's a Yisrael, so that's mutter. And remember, if a mamzer sleeps with a bat Yisrael, that does not change her status. She's still not allowed to be with a mamzer, and she still can be with a Yisrael. Mutarot liyimehen v'asurot lebaalehen. So, of course, in all those cases, they are not allowed to be with the avam, and they are allowed to be with, they're not allowed to be with their husbands, but they are allowed to be with the avam. Good. Ve'elu asurot le'elu le'elu. And this continues Mishnah Bet. Kohen gadol shenasa ta'almana. If a kohen gadol married an almana. So once he married her and had bia with her, she becomes a chalala. V'yesh lo ach kohen gadol or kohen hediot. Whoever his brother is, whatever kind of kohen he is, cannot marry her. Kasher shenasa chalala. So when a kasher marries a chalala, v'yesh lo ach kasher. He's not allowed to be with her. And his brother, the kohen, is not allowed to be with her. Yisrael shenasa mamzeret. V'yesh lo ach Yisrael. Yisrael, his brother's a Yisrael, they're both kosher. He married a mamzeret, she's also to both the Baal and the Avam. Mamzer shenasa bat Yisrael v'yesh lo ach mamzer, or the flip side, a mamzer married a bat Yisrael and his brother's a mamzer. Asurot le'elu le'elu, she's not allowed to be with either the Baal or the Avam. Ushar kol hanashim, any other circumstance, mutarot le'valein v'li'mehen. Obviously, in any normal circumstance, if she's allowed to be with her husband, then normally she's allowed to be with his brother. Now, of course, except for all of those weird circumstances that we had in the beginning of the Masechet, where from another angle she was usher to the Yavam because of an Erva. Now, Shniot, this is the third Mishnah. Shniot midivrei Sofrim. So all of those Shniot that we discussed in the second parak, Shniah Labal, Velo Shniah Yavam. Let's say she's a Shniah Labal. All right, so let's say that she's a great-great-granddaughter, a great-granddaughter to the Baal, but not to the Abam. Asura Labal, Mutar Liyavam, Shnia Liyavam, Velo Shnia Labal, Asura Liyavam, Mutar Labal. Very simply, whoever she's a Shnia to, she's Asur. Whoever she's not a Shnia to, she's Mutar. Shnia Lazel Lazel, Asura Lazel Lazel. Good. Now, here's the din of Shnia. Ein La Lo Ktuba, Shnia does not get a Ktuba. Velo Peirot, right? She does not eat Peirot Bechayav of Nichse Melov. Velo Mezonot, she's not fed. Velo Belaot, Laot are the leftover clothes. Vahavlad Kasher. And this is, these things are actually tied together. The result of her relationship, the child is kosher. V'kofino to lohotzi. And the Beit Din forces the husband to divorce. This shnia is asura d'rabanan. On the other hand, almanot kohen gadol grusha v'chutzak and hinyan mazer until the Israelite Yisrael and Tanu l'mamzer are famous for group of four of isurim d'oraita, which is not exactly true because chalutz l'kohen hinyan is d'rabanan and netina is d'rabanan also. But these classic isurei kedusha, Yesh lahen ktuba, they do get ktuba. About mizonot, we're going to see a little later on, but they do get ktuba, and of course this is very strange, that somebody who violates an isur d'oraita in his marriage, the result is that the wife gets a ktuba, but when they violate an isur d'rabanan with a shnia, that she forfeits the ktuba, we'll see why. Now, the first thing that we attack is the opening line of the Mishnah, my ir yad etan inasa. Why do you have to talk about a kohen gadol? Sorry, Kohen Hedyot Shinasa Talmana, right? Litni Kidesh. After all, if the Kohen Hedyot was Mekanish in Almana and then died and she fell to the Kohen Gadol, she would still be Asa. So why do you have to go as far as Nasa? Chitema Tama de Nasa de Havele Ase Velota Se. Maybe you want to say that if she was an Almana Minha Erusin, which means that there's only a Lotase of Almana, but no Ase of Ba'ula, something that we dealt with much earlier in the Masachet, then aval kidesh ati ase v'dachi dochelot ase. But if he was just mekadesh, I might think that the ase of yibum is dochel the lot ase of almana. That's what I might have thought. V'hakula pirkin ase v'lot asehu. But everything else in the parak is an ase and a lot ase. For instance, koin hedyot to a grusha is just a lot ase of grusha lo yikachu. There's no ase there, right? And in all of this, so parallel to all those cases, our koin gadol should have been a regular case of nasa. And because we don't need Kidesh to tell me that it's only that it's even in the case of an Aseh, just an Aseh versus Lot Aseh. Lot Aseh v'lachi Lot Aseh. So the answer, the why did he say Nasa Mishum the Goyim Limini Seifa in letter C on the page, we have Kohen Gadol Shenasa Talmana to show the case of where they're both Aser. You have a Kohen Gadol who married the Almana. Now why does the Kohen Gadol have to marry the Almana in the Seifa to make her Aser to the brother? Because when he marries her and has bia with her, then he makes her chalala. Aval kidesh, let's say a kohen gadol was mekadesh an almana, and then he died, she would fall to his brother. That's perfectly legitimate. She's not a chalala, she's just an almana to a regular kohen. That's fine. Aval kidesh, shayale. So tananami reisha nasa. So therefore, the reisha also picked nasa, because in the seifa it had to have nasa. Now, if that's the case, but if you're going to tell me that the very opening line of the Mishnah picked Nasa, even though it's unnecessary, and a little misleading, because in the Seifa it says Nasa, so litni mishum mitziyata kohen gadol shekidesh an almana, go to letter B on the page, the middle case, which is when she is mutar la yavam and osur labal. So why don't we say kohen gadol shekidesh an almana, v'yesh lo ach kohen hedyot, which by the way is mutar la yavam. And there you had kidesh, so pick the parallel phrasing there. And the answer is that we're wrong about our first assumption. On the shum bat bukta. On the page, I just skipped straw man and went straight to the answer. Mishum bat bukta, because of its neighbor. Right? In other words, in the opening line of the Mishnah, it says, Kohen Gadol Shenasa et Almana. Right? And what's next? The Kabbalah mean Chalal Shenasa Kshera. Right? And there it's Tama Denasa. There it has to be specifically that he married her. Why? Because when the Chalal marries the Kshera, after he has Bia with her, he makes her a Chalala, the Shavya Chalala, Avalkide Sharyale. But if he is Makadeshur, Chalal is Makadeshur Ksheira, and then he dies, she falls to the brother who's a coin, that's fine. Shumachik Tani Nasa, therefore we need a Nasa. Good. And now the second problem is, when I mentioned this in the Mishnah, why did we need to mention that she's an Almana before marrying the Kohen Hedyot? In the opening line, we have a Kohen Hedyot marrying an Almana. And we said, why is he married and not Mekadesh? Good, that's because of a parallel construction. Why does she have to be an almana? Why can't the kohen head marry just a regular girl? And when he dies, she becomes an almana. So litni betula. V'chitema kasavra haitana nisuin arishonim apilin. Now remember, there's something we discussed much earlier in the Masachet. Whether or not mita mapelat or nisuin arishonim apilin. Meaning, what generates the relationship? Is it the death of the brother or his original marriage? So if you're going to argue that it's the original marriage that creates the relationship, and that's why she had to be an almana when she married the kohen hedyot to make the isur, but if she was a betula, then she, at the time she was already also mutter to the brother kohen gadol. And now when the kohen hedyot dies and she falls to him, she's falling mikoach, the original marriage is a betula, that we can't say. Hare chalal shenasa ksheira, if a chalal marries a ksheira, we said, we don't go back to the original status. Her original status was Kshera, but after she had bia with this halal, she became a halalat. So the answer is, Havade Mishum Seifa. In this case, you have to say that the construction of Almana here is because of the Seifa. Shum Deboy Lemitni Seifa. At the end, it says, Koin Godol Shenasat Almana, Vishtoach Koin Godol Koin Hedyot. Right? If we had we had the case where she's also to both. The Kohen Gadol marries the Almanah. There it has to be an Almanah. Dafka Almanah. Betulah, Chazile. If she marries a Betulah, then she's fine. And by the way, when he dies, she's fine to Yibam also because she's not a Chalalah. Shachik Tani Almanah. That's why we picked Almanah in the Reisha because Almanah is used in the Seifa. Good. Now, Matkiv Lav Papa. Papa, by the way, is challenging the Mishnah because he's claiming that the Mishnah is incomplete. And really, he's not challenging the Mishnah. As I put in the notes, he's really challenging a report that Rav Dini brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And we had a disputed reading of Rabbi Yochanan about what is the status of a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Rishona. What's the status of the child? So according to Rav Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Rishona, the child's a Sheni, not a Shlishi, as it goes after the woman. So now watch this. Matki Rav Papa im iteloha dechiat Rav Dimi Rav Yochanan, if we accept Rav Dimi's report of Rabbi Yochanan. It said Mitzri Sheni Shanasa Mitzri Rishona Abna Sheni Havei. So litni nami, then they should also be in the Mishnah. Where? Mitzri sheni shenasa shtei mitzriot. Let's say you have a mitzri sheni marries two mitzriot. Achat rishona v'achat shnia. In a curious case, a mitzri sheni marries two women. One's a mitzri rishona, and the other's a mitzri shnia. What would be the, according to this report of Rav Dimi, what would Rabbi Yochanan say about the children? The children with the rishona are shnim, and therefore they're osur l'vavakal and mutter b'mitzrim, and mekerim. And the children with the shnia are going to be shlishim, and they're also b'mitzrim, and they're mutter b'kahal. Good. So let's watch it out. Watch how it plays it out. Vayula banim yirshanu shnia. So inasuv ki urchayu, if they marry properly, meaning that the children that he had with the rishona, who are shnim, marry other mitzrim, and the children with the shnia who are shlishim marry yisraelim. So mutarot lebaleim, asurot leimeihem. Then they are mutter in their relationships, and they're usur to their yavam, because the yavam is, after all, their paternal brother, and their paternal brother is across the line. Either they are Yisraeliot, who married a mitzri shlishi, and now their husband died, and they're falling to a mitzri sheni, and that's usur, or they're mitzriot, who married a mitzri sheni, and their husband died, and they fall now to a mitzri shlishi, who's not allowed to marry them. Right, that would be a perfect case. So it would be a crossover. V'ipuch v'nasuv, and if they married wrongly, meaning the children of the Mitzrit Rishona, who are Shneim, married Yisraeliot, and the children of the Shneim, who are Shlishit, married Mitzriot, and they married wrong, so mutarot l'imein, v'asarot l'valem, then they'd be usher to their husbands, and be mutter to the Yavam, because the Yavam is the right guy for them to marry. Mutarot l'elu l'elu, what would that case be? Giorot. If they are converts, they could marry either one of them. Asurot le'elu ve'elu. What's that? That's Iloniot. Good. So if they're an Ilonit, then there are usur in both cases. So you could have a construct in which, besides the cases that we had with Mamzeret and Tinan, Koin Halal and Halal, etc., we could have the Mitzri, if Rav Dimi is right, that it follows the mother, then we could have a situation where a Mitzri Sheni has two wives, and the result of that would be children who their wives could not marry the other brother, or could not marry the one that they married, but could marry the brother, or could marry both, or could marry neither, and could fit nicely into the Mishnah. This would seem to be a rejection of Rav Dimi, because it's not mentioned here. So Tana v'Shiur. The answer is the Tana did not give us an exhaustive list. He left something out. But remember the rule. The rule of the rhetoric of Tana v'Shiur is that he has to have left something else off the list in order to justify that he left this particular item off the list. So now the question always is, my shiur to high shiur. What else did he leave off that he left this off? Shiur p'tsua daka. He didn't put p'tsua daka onto the list, which of course, play it out, it could work every which way. A p'tsua daka marries a woman, so she's not allowed to be with him, she's allowed to be with the brother, p'tsua daka is the brother, etc. Both of them are p'tsua daka, etc. Good. Imishim p'tsua daka lav shiur. He said, that's not a shiur. Why? Tatana le chai v'lavin, because after all, the whole list is a list of chai v'lavin, so it includes Tzuadaka and Ammoni Moavi and all the other Chai V'Lavin. So Atu Chai V'Lavin, you know, Tani V'Hadar Tani. Wait a second. Chai V'Lavin are mentioned generally, plus we have explicit examples. V'Aktani Kohen Hedyot Shenasa Almona. V'Chalal Shenasa K'Sheira. You have a Kohen Hedyot who married an Almona, in which he's Mutter, but he falls to the brother, Kohen Gadol, it's no good. Chalal Shenasa K'Sheira. Right, and then once he marries her, she makes her chalalah, and she falls to his brother who's a kosher. So we have chai v'lavin, and then we have explicit ones. So why don't we mention p'tsua daka explicitly? Must be p'tsua daka is omitted, our mishnah is incomplete, and therefore don't raise a hue and cry about mitzri. No, ahu itz tariach alei lashuin. No, we needed that explicit mention of the chalal shana sakshar. Why? Kid Rav Yehuda Amarav. We're going to see this a little later. Rav Yehuda Amarav lo hizuru ksherot inasei l'psulin. To teach you that a woman who is kosher lekuna is not forbidden from marrying a halal. There is no iser for her to marry a halal. And therefore, we have to explicitly mention that a halal who married a ksheira, we didn't negate that relationship. We just said that the result is that she's also a yavam because she became a halala. V'haktani halal shenasa ksheira v'yisrael shenasa bat yisrael v'yishto ach mamzer. We already mentioned that. And a separate time in the Mishnah. Why are we teaching it several times? So hanami lo mahadu mitanihi. That's also not extra. Da ashmuinan lav she'in sheva bakol. Koshlon lav sheva bakol. Why did they put halal shenasa ksheira next to Yisrael shenasa bat Yisrael? And he has a brother who's a mamzer. To show you that it applies equally to a universal love like mamzer and to a tribal love like halal. Haktani, but that we already had too. Yisrael shenasa mamzer v'yishto ach Yisrael. Mamzer shenasa mamzer v'yishto ach Yisrael. We already have that mentioned, the universal and the tribal love. So indeed, we were right with our original answer that the Tana did leave some things out. It left Psua Daka out. It mentions specific Chai V'Lavin not because they are necessarily needed, because some of them really are extra. So it did not give us an exhaustive list. Psua Daka is left off, and therefore Mitzri being left off is not surprising. Now let's go back to Rab's dictum about Ksherot marrying psulin. Rav Yehuda Amarav, those who ksherot li nasei le psulin. So lei mesayei alei chalal shenasa kshera. So perhaps we get support from our Mishnah for Rav, because it says if a chalal marries a kshera, and we said that's fine. My love, kohenet haru'yelo, is this not talking about a kshera, meaning a kohenet, who's marrying this chalal, and so therefore you see a bat kohen can marry a chalal. Umay kshera, kshera le kohuna. Lo, Yisraelit. To my kshera, kshera le kahal. Kshera here means somebody who can marry into the kahal. She's a Yisraelit. So this chalal married a kshera. Yachi, yesh lo ach kasher, nami kasher le kahal. So therefore, in the rest of the Mishnah, when it calls her a kshera, it says he has a brother who's kasher. What does it mean? Kasher le kahal? Chaldu pasul le kahal? Mashma that this chalal is pasul le kahal? And his brother's, he's the chalal and his brother's kasher. It means he's worse off. And you're going to say kasher in this phrase means kasher le kahal? So his brother, who is kosher, means kosher le kahal, but he's not a kohen? He's not a kosher kohen? So who's this guy? Alalav kohen. It must be that the brother is a proper kohen. Umiduhu kohen, he kohenet. So when it says ksherah, means she's a kohenet. So you see, support for Rav, that a bat kohen can marry a halal. Midi irya, who said? Hakidita v'hakidita, we distribute it. Maybe the ksherah, in her case, is ksherah le kahal, and maybe his brother, who is an ach kosher, is a kosher le kohenet. Meiti Ravin Bar Nachman, lo yikachu, lo yikachu. Look at pasuk number 1 on the page. And it quotes the isser of a kohen hedyot, marrying a grusha and a halal, etc. It says lo yikachu twice. Lamecha isha muzeret al yedei ha'ish. It proves to you that women are also forbidden from entering into forbidden kohanic unions. So how can you say that ksherot are, how do you call it, are mutter to marry psulim? Amarava kol echad dehu muzhar he muzharet. That's only where he's not allowed to marry. She's not also not allowed to marry. So a kohen's not allowed to marry grusha. A grusha's not allowed to marry a kohen. Kol echad dehu lo muzhar, but wherever he's not warned, a halal is allowed to marry anybody he wants. He lo mizdaras. So any woman can marry a halal. She should just know that her result is that she will be a halala and the children be halalim. V'hami hachanafka. Wait, but did you learn that women are equally obligated or to be careful about Isurim from that pasuk? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka, from the very famous drash of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'chetan Rav Shmuel, isha uisha ki asu mikoch chatot ha'adam. This is pasuk number 2 on the page in Parsha Me'ila. Hishva katub isha l'ish. The Torah equated men and women, ish o isha, l'chol onshin shebetorah, for all punishments. Meaning culpability is equally distributed, and therefore we know that if a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, the grusha is not allowed to marry the kohen. So if I had that pasuk, I would think that that's about universal lavim, Shmir Shabbos, and Arayot, etc., but not about tribal lavim. All right, I would not have known to extend it to a lav shem v'kol. Ah, that's not true. For a tumah lav shem v'kol, the iser of being metame lemeit, that a kohen is not allowed to go to a funeral which is tribal. The time of the Chatav Rachmana Bnei Aaron. Look at the third and final pasuk on the page. It says that Amor al Bnei Aharon v'yamarta aleihem. It says Bnei Aharon v'lo Bnot Aharon. Very famous drasha, which teaches you that women are not forbidden from tumat mate. Halav hachiyav men and nashim chayavot. So if it weren't for that miut, I would have thought women are equal. And why would I have thought women are equally obligated to avoid tumat mate? It must be because ish o isha provides that women are equally obligated to avoid isurim as men, even in tribal isurim. So my taima, la mishum Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, isn't because of that? Lo, the gamrina milo kachu. Actually, it's circular. We say because the Torah says in the context of kohen to a grusha and the other isurei kedusha, lo yikachu twice. Therefore, it warns the women also from entering into such unions. And because of that, I would have thought that women are also obligated to avoid tumat mate, women of Kohanim. Therefore, it says, B'nei Aharon, to exclude them. Ika da'amri, there's another version of this, with a slight twist. Ki cha'itz terichalei. I need the word lo yikachu. Sa'al kadai tachamena ligmari tumah. I would have thought the opposite, to learn from B'nei Aharon v'lo B'not Aharon, that women of Kohanim are totally exempted from the parsha. Kamash malan, therefore, tells me that they're not, and they are held liable if they enter into an improper union with a kohen. A papa of Hunab Reda Rishua, he called the Hinsavu, they came to this place, Hinsavu, Latred of Idi Baravim, they came to his house, or his place, Bo Minayu, and the people asked them the following question. A papa of Hunab Reda Rishua, Gdole Ador, came and in this particular town in Bavel, and they were asked, Who's Aruk Sherod Linaselif Sulin or Lo? So they were asked a question that we've already sort of solved. Are Kohanok Sherot warned against marrying psulin? Amar lo papa tini tu. Our papa said we have a brayta. Asari yuchsin alim bavel. It's actually the Mishnah of the fourth parak of Kiddushin. It says kohanim levim yisraelim chalolim gerim charuim. That's avadim mishucharim mamzerim intinim shtuki vasufi or suffik mamzerim. Kohanim levim yisraelim utar navozav azeh. They're allowed to marry each other. Levim yisraelim chalolim gerim charuim utar navozav azeh. Levim and yisrael, those non-kohanim, are allowed to marry. Of course, levim yisraelim. Halal, Ger, and Eved Meshuchar. Geri, Charui, Mamzerim, Tinu, Shtuki, Vasufi. And the last six are allowed to marry with each other. We're talking about Zavazet. The Kohanot, the Halal, Loktani, it doesn't say that Kohanot are allowed to marry Halal. And Halalim are mentioned there. Rav Huna Rei Yeshua, Kolecha, Dahani, Naspi, Mihani, Vahani, Naspi, Mihani, Iktani. So Rav Huna Rei Yeshua answered Rav Papa, and he said, your proof that the omission from the Mishnah Kiddushin proves that they're usher is not a proof, because the Mishnah Kiddushin is just saying wherever the both ways the relationship is mutter, did they list. So a Kohen can marry a Bat Levi, and a Levi can marry a Bat Kohen, wherever it goes both ways. But wherever Kohen, since a Kohen may not marry a Chalala, it also didn't mention that a Halal can marry a Kohenet, even though it's true. Loktani. So they came to Rav Idi Baravin, who was the Mara Da'atra, it was his town. Amar Lu, and he said, Dardaki, kids, Hachem Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, we have the famous quote from Rav, Lo Zruk Shurli, Nasei Lipsulim, why are you dickering around with the Mishnah and Kiddushin and interpreting it one way or the other? We have a clear statement from Rav that says that they are allowed to marry Psulim. Good. The Mishnah Gimel said that Shniot Medivrei Sofrim, and remember we mentioned that Shniot don't have a ketubah, whereas Almana the Kohen Gadol, etc., has a ketubah. Bominei b'nei b'erim Rav Sheshet. So they asked Rav Sheshet, Shniot l'bav l'shniot l'avam. Let's say you have a case where she is a Shniot to her husband, so he should have divorced her, but he died first, and she's not a Shniot to the Avam. So we said that she does have Yibum. That's the Mishnah said. But yesh lak ketubah mi'avam olo. Does she get a ketubah from the Avam? After all, she doesn't have a ketubah from the Baal, because the Mishnah said that a Shniyah doesn't have a ketubah. But she's not a Shniyah to the Yavam. Kevan damar mar ketubata al nichse bala harishon, since we have the famous statement that when a man does Yibum, the ketubah comes from the estate of the first husband. So we say late loss. So maybe she doesn't get this one who is not a Shniyah to the Yavam. Maybe she does not get the ketubah because there would be no ketubah generated by the first husband. But remember that the Rabbanan established that if the first husband's estate is emptied out and there's no money for the ketubah, then the Yavam does have to pay. So itla. So maybe this is a parallel case where the first husband's estate doesn't have a ketubah here because of the Beit Din's takana, not because of his own financial malfeasance, if you will, or incompetence. So maybe also she has a ketubah. So Rav Sheshet tinutuash. Rav Sheshet answered the question. He said we have the Mishnah that says ketubatal nichse bala harishon, right? The ketubah v'yavama always comes from her first husband. V'maytashniyah laval, and if she was osur laval, is a shniyah filum yavam ein la. She doesn't get even from the yavam. Now that's a strange wording. Echal di'ika di'itla miyavam. Wait, you're telling me that there are some cases where she does get it from the yavam? She should never get it from the Avam. It should always come from the first husband. So, Chasuri Me'achsor Achitani, this is how it should read. Ketubatal Nechsei Bala Rishon. The ketubah comes from her first husband. V'ilait Lami Rishon. If the husband doesn't have enough money, then Tekinu Lami Sheni. Then the Rabban said she gets the ketubah from the Yavam. V'maita Shniyah L'Baal. But if she was a Shniyah L'Baal, Afilu Yavam Ein La. She doesn't get it from the Yavam, meaning she gets no ketubah at all. And that makes sense because, of course, she entered into a relationship that was already failing on the ketubah level. So the fact that the husband died and she now falls to the Yavam should not suddenly give her a ketubah. V'amine Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Lazar asked his colleague Rabbi Yochanan in Tveria, Almano l'kohen gadol gushav chutz l'kohen hedyot, yesh lo mizonot or ein lahen mizonot. So he asked, remember that our Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, mentioned that those relationships have ketubah. But do they have mizonot? Does he feed her mizonot? So Rabbi Yochanan said, Hei chidami, ilay mediyat fatute, if you say it's a circumstance where they're living together, we're telling him to divorce her. He should be divorcing her every minute. Mizonotitla, you think we're going to provide also that he should feed her? So, no, we're talking about a case where the husband went abroad for a while, and she had no food. She borrowed money to eat, and now the husband comes back. Can she be toveya the husband to pay back the loan? My mizoni tanai ketubah ninu. Do we say that mizonot are part of the ketubah? And since we said she has a ketubah, she also has mizonot. Maybe ketubah is different. That's for her to do business with, and that's for her to leave the marriage and to be able to enter another marriage with. But mizoni, which if she's fed, then maybe she's going to say, I'll stay here, I don't have to leave. Maybe she doesn't get mizonot. So he said, his answer was, Rabbi Yochanan said, that she doesn't get mizonot. I v'atanya yeshla. I there's a brayta that says she does get. Kitanya hi lachamita. Lachamita, after the husband dies and she borrowed money, then the estate does have to pay her back for the mizonot because, of course, there's no concern that she's going to continue living with her husband who is already dead. Ita amar. There's another version of this. Amarle that Rabbi Yochanan said to him, tanya yeshla. That we have a started from the opposite. The brayta said that she does have mizonot. He's supposed to be divorcing her. Why are we giving her mizonot? Yeah, she gets mizonot if the husband's already dead. Otherwise, she does not get mizonot. Even though the mizonot are somehow linked to the ketubah, nonetheless, we want to really engender a situation where he will divorce her. Now, Tana Rabbana, we're going to get to the core problem in the last Mishnah, which is why it is that in the case of Isurim Durabbanan, Shniot, she doesn't have a ketubah, but if he violates an Isra Doraita, Amonel Koin Gadol, Gushav Achutzel, Ken Hedyon, etc., she does get a ketubah. Amonel Koin Gadol, Gushav Achutzel, Ken Hedyon, Yishlak Tubah, Perot, Mizonot, Blaot, is an extension, by the way, that says that they do get Mizonot. V'hi psulo v'lada pasul. She becomes nifsal by this relationship. This is almono kohen gadol. Grusha v'chutzal ken hedyot. We did not talk about mamzer, etc. l'Yisrael. She becomes pasul as a result. U'vlada pasul. The child is pasul. It's a halal. L'kofino tolot si. The Beit Din forced him to divorce her. Shniot midivrei sofrim. Ema ktuba lo perot lo mezonot v'lo blaot. She gets none of the rights, as we saw in the Mishnah. V'hik sherel v'lada kasher. But she's not affected in any way. And the child is not stigmatized. Kofino tolot si. Forced him to divorce. Now, Amram Shimon Elazar. Name Amram l'kona kohen gadol yesh la ktuba. Why did we say that Amram l'kona gadol gets a ktuba? Because after all, he becomes pasul. He's pasul while he's married to her, can't do the avodah, and she is psula as a result of the relationship with him. Anywhere where he is pasul and she's psula, kansu oto ktuba. They find him and they say you have to pay the ktuba. Meaning, Mikar Dini really shouldn't have a ktuba, but they find him because of his wrong behavior. Name Amru Shniot Medivir Sofer Me'elang Ktuba. So Shimon Elazar continues and says, why do Shniot, which should Rabbanan, not get a Ktuba? Neshu Kosher Ikshera. Because he's not affected. He can continue doing Avoda. And he's not affected in any way by being married to a Shnia. She's not affected in any way. The kid's not affected in any way. B'chol Makom Shu Kosher Ikshera Kansu Otak Ktuba. Anywhere where they are kosher, the Rabbanan were kones them, find her to lose the Ktuba. Now that's a little bit unsatisfying and a little bit unclear, so we'll see more. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe gave a different angle. Halalu divrei Torah. The divrei Torah ain't shechin chizuk. Amon of the Kohen Gadol is an Issa Doraita. An Issa Doraita is so strong, it doesn't need our extra support. Halalu divrei Sofrim. But Shniot de Rabbanan, people take them lightly, people disregard them. Divrei Sofrim shechin chizuk. They need some support. The extra support is by finding her the ketubah. Davar Acher. This is the third thing which is now going to put a monkey wrench into the whole works. Zehu margila, meaning, in one case, he instigates the relationship and he seduces her to marry. That's in the case of Amon l'kohen gadol, where she really has a lot to lose, so he must have really worked hard to get her to marry him. Vezuhi margilato, in the other case, she really worked hard. In the case of a shnia, she really worked hard to get him to marry her because she doesn't lose anything, and of course she wants to be married. Now, davar acher, let's mix these together. Man ketani la, who learned this? Ikeda amar, some people say, v'shemar lazer ketani la. This last thing about Margil was Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Matam kamar. He is explaining. Matam amru hu pasul v'ipsula kansu otok tuba. Why did rule number one that I stated, which is that if they're both pasul, there's a ktuba, meshu margila, because he instigated the relationship. After all, she's nifsala. It must be he instigated it. Matam ukosher v'ikshar kansu otok tuba. And how come if they're both kosher? They find her to lose the ktubah, because she instigated the relationship because she got nothing to lose. Now, that's one version. Ika da Amar, some people say Rebbe Ktanila, that the thing of Margil was Rebbe. The Chalutza Kokashale, Rebbe was bothered by Chalutza. I mentioned the Chalutza is Durabanan, Chalutza the coin is Durabanan. It's an extension of Grusha. Vaha Chalutza Durabanan, Ve'idla Ktubah, Chalutza Durabanan, Idla Ktubah, and Rebbe said, after all, that when it comes to the Divrei Torah, we don't need chizuk, but Chalutza's Darabanan should need a chizuk of losing a tubah. Hadarama came an apostle, Lami Darabanan, since a Chalutza, a Kohen who marries a Chalutza, is now Nifsal Alakuna Midrabanan, it's a Chalala Darabanan, Zehu Margila Vizuli Margila Torah. It therefore fits into the same social setting, which is that in the case of a Chalutza, he will be the one who will instigate the relationship, because she has what to lose, obviously she didn't instigate it, and therefore she gets the tubah. Good. Now, Ma'ika ben Rebbe, the Rebbe Shimon Elazar. According to these new hybrids, what is the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Elazar? So we got five attempts. Amar Chista, Mamzeret Tina L'Yisrael Ikeh Ben Ayu. A Mamzeret marrying Yisrael is the difference. Why? Because, remember, Mamzeret L'Yisrael is an Issa Doraita. So according to Rebbe, she should get the ktubah. On the other hand, a Mamzeret is a circumstance where she is going to instigate the relationship because she really doesn't lose anything by it, and lo nifsala. Good, so now let's see. Man de amar de'oraita, no de'oraita. According to Rabbi, it's de'oraita, therefore he should have a ktubah. Man damam neshu margila, but according to the opinion that says it's because he instigated it, ha'hi maragole, she instigated it, and therefore she should lose the ktubah. Now, that's fine, except Ula Rebbe Eliezer, Damar, Ezev, and Mamzer. If you recall a little while back, we talked about Rebbe Tarfon's approach. It's in the last Mishnah, in the third parak of Kiddushin, of a way for Mamzerim to be Mitaher, Rabbi Eliezer disagreed with him and said that if a mamzer has children with a shifcha, then the kid is just an eved mamzer, and there's no way to get rid of it. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Damar hareza eved mamzer, meaning that there is no way for a mamzeret to ever clean up her seed, right? Then, ha lo maragla le velomidi, so therefore she will not instigate the relationship because she doesn't want to have pusel kids, right? So therefore, in that case, once we take Rabbi Eliezer into account, both will agree that she would get the ketubah. Ela amar of Yosef, machzir gusha mishenisei tikibinayu. A man divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, that man divorces her or dies, and now he takes her back. Doraita, according to Rabbi, she should get the ketubah, it's doraita, because the Yisr is doraita, it doesn't need chizuk. Mandam neshu margila, but according to the one who says that he has to pay the ketubah when he is the one who instigated the relationship, hahi maraglele. She's the one who instigates it because she has nothing to lose and she goes back to her first husband. And her kids, if she has kids with him, he toiva vein banal toivin. That's good, except for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, damar yesh mamzer mechayvi lavin. And this, of course, is the more chumer dikshita within Rabbi Akiva that says, any chayvi lavin create mamzerut. Therefore, these kids will be mamzerim and how do we darshan it? He toiva ubaneha toivin vein sarata toiva. Right? That's how we darshan the pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva. Halo miragle velomidi, so she again is not going to instigate it, which means in according to both opinions, if we took Rabbi Akiva into account, Machzer Grushato should get a ketubah. El Amar of Papa Ba'ula Lekoin Gadol Ikibinayu, a case of a Ba'ula who's not an Almana, Lekoin Gadol. Manda Amar Do'oraita Hanami Do'oraita, it's an Issa Do'oraita. Manda Meshu Humar Gila Hiahi Maragle, she's the one who's going to instigate it, because she would rather be with the Kohen Gadol. And since there is no lav of amana, the child is not a halal, so she has nothing to lose, and therefore she should lose the ketubah because she instigated it. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yesh halal mi-chayv aseh, but remember Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he said that if you have chayv aseh, like kohen gadol libbeula, beula is not an amana, the child is still a halal, halo maragle velomidi, she's not going to instigate it at all, because after all, the child will be a halal. El Amar Rashi, we have Machzer Sofek Sota Toika Benayo. A man has a Sofek Sota, meaning a woman who is suspected of Znut but never drank the water, which is an Isur Deoraita to have relations with her. Mandam Deoraita Nami Deoraita, that's Rebbe. Mandam Nechu Margila Hahim Ragule. She's going to be the one to instigate the reconciliation because, after all, she has nothing to lose. Ah, Ramati Ben Charash Tamar Filo Alach Balash Kotav Valabader Hasazona. Ramati ben Chareish says that even if on the way to Yerushalayim to give her the water, the husband has relations with her, that makes her a zonah, because it's a bi'asura, in which case, according to him, she would not instigate this relationship because it would make her a zonah and then psula lakuna. Alam ragoi velomidi, alam rab ramashi, sota vadai ikabinayu. That the difference between them really is a sota vadai. According to Rebbe, sota vadai, certainly because sota vadai is an isur da'oraita, a woman has an affair. Husband is not allowed mid-doraita to continue to maintain have sexual relations with her. However, it is certainly the case that she would be miragel because she loses nothing in status as far as her own status goes or the status of her children goes by staying with him, and therefore she will instigate it. So therefore, according to Shimon Elazar, she should lose the ketubah. According to Rebbe, she should have the ketubah, and therein lies the difference between their two approaches. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and we will continue, Meretz Hashem, studying the 9th parak in the next podcast, and there will be a total of 3 podcasts, this being the first of the 9th parak. Everybody should have a wonderful day.